السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الأخ أبو مجاهد تسمع صوتي؟
نعم.
الحمد لله الذي جعل في كل زمان قدرة من الرسل بقايا من أهل العلم يدعون من دل إلى الهدى ويصبرون منهم على الأذى يحيون بكتاب الله تعالى الموتى ويبشرون بنور الله أهل العمى. فكم من قتيل لإبليس قد أحيوا وكم من تائه قد هدوا. فما أحسن أثرهم على الناس وما أقوى أثر الناس عليهم. ينفون عن كتاب الله تحريف الغالين وانتهال المبتلين وتأويل الجاهلين. فالحمد لله أعلى شأن العلم والعلماء وجعل طلب العلم من أجل الأعمال وأعظم القربات. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمد عبده ورسوله. أثنى على طلب العلم وأخذه من العلماء المؤتمنين الربانيين. فصلاة الله وسلامه على الهادي البشير وسيد المرسلين وإمام المعلمين وقدوة العالمين وعلى آله الطاهرين وصحابته الغر الميامين أقمار الدجى ومصابيح الهدى ومن سار على نهجهم واقتفى أثرهم إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، أيها الإخوة الأعزاء وأيتها الأخوات الفاضلات، سلام الله عليكم ورحمته وبركاته. وبعد، فبإسمكم جميعا يشرفني أن أرحب بأجمل الترحيب بضيف الغالي ضيف هذا الأسبوع في اللقاءات العلمية مع المشائخ الأفاضل والعلماء الأجلاء. أيها الأحبة، كم يسرنا أن يكون معنا اليوم أحد عالم من علماء المسلمين الذي عرف في مشارق الأرض ومغاربها، فهو عالم من أعلام وإمام من الأئمة وجحبذ من الجهابذة. أحببناه في الله عز وجل ونشكره على موافقته الكريمة رغم ضيق وقته وكثرة انشغاله، فجزاه الله خير الجزاء. أيها الأحبة، ضيف هذا الأسبوع هو والدنا العزيز وشيخنا الجليل معالي الدكتور صالح بن فوزان الفوزان، عضو هيئة كبار العلماء وعضو في المجمع الفقهي بمكة المكرمة للرابط العالم الإسلامي وعضو في اللجنة الدائمة للبحوث العلمية والإفتاء. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, in an effort to connect the Ummah with the scholars and to provide opportunities to learn and benefit from scholars, we at Al-Quran wa Sunnah Society of New York are pleased to announce the start of intensive courses in Islamic sciences, which will be tutored by senior scholars every first and third Saturday of each month, inshallah. Aqeedah courses will be held on first Saturday and third courses on third Saturday of each month. To maximize its benefit, we request that you inform your local masajid and Islamic centers of this unique opportunity so you may hold these lectures absolutely free of charges in your local community. Please note that all participants will be awarded certificates, and after the exam, prizes will be distributed. For more information, please visit albasira.org or email course@albasira.org. course@albasira.org. Today's lecture will be the first lecture of our Aqeedah course. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase us all in knowledge and grant us the wisdom. As for the lecture, it pleases us to have with us today one of our noble and senior scholar, Sheikh Saleh bin Fawzan al-Fawzan. He is well known throughout the world for his knowledge, and many of you know him very well. He studied with many of the scholars, and from among his teachers are Samahat al-Shaykh Abdul Aziz bin Baz, وسمحت الشيخ عبد الله بن حميد وفضيلة الشيخ المفسر محمد الأمين الشنقيطي ومعالي الشيخ محمد بن عبد الله السبيّر. Currently he is a member of Council of Senior Scholars, member of Fiqh Council of Muslim World League, and a member of Permanent Committee of Islamic Research and Fatawa. Dear brothers and sisters, for our Aqidah course, we will be covering two books, inshaAllah, Uthul al-Thalatha and Qawaid al-Arba'ah, both of which are authored by Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab. Therefore, we have decided to do our first lecture about this great Imam and his efforts in spreading the Tawheed and Sunnah. And now, without any further delay, I ask our Honorable Shaykh to proceed. فلان مع معاليه فليتفضل مشكورا معجورا.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فإن نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم قد أكمل الله به الدين وأتم به النعمة وترك أمته على البيضاء ليلها كنهارها.
The Shaykh حفظه الله, he proceeds on to say, in the name of Allah the Most Merciful, and peace and blessings be upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and companions to the day of our religion, of the deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has completed by our Prophet the religion and bestowed upon us his blessings, and he alayhi salatu wasalam left his ummah upon the white, its day is like its night is like its daylight. No one will go astray from it except a destroyed person.
لا يزيغ عنها إلا هالك. وحث صلى الله عليه وسلم على التمسك بما جاء به صلى الله عليه وسلم من الكتاب والسنة ولزوم جماعة المسلمين في كل وقت.
And he عليه الصلاة والسلام encouraged and directed the people toward holding on to his prophetic tradition, his sunnah, and holding firm to the jama'ah of the Muslimin in all times.
لا سيما عند اشتداد الفتن وظهور البدع والمحدثات والشركيات في الدين.
Especially in the time where turmoil is strong and the innovations are apparent and newly invented affairs are being created and shirk runs rampant.
وقد بشر صلى الله عليه وسلم أن الله يبعث لكل أمة أن الله يبعث في الأمة على رأس كل مائة سنة من يجدد لها دينها.
And he عليه الصلاة والسلام gave the good news and glad tidings that at the head of every 100 years Allah will send to this nation one who will revive for it its religion.
وذلك أنه كلما تطاول الزمان بعد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم تراكمت البدع والمحدثات التي يروجها أعداء الدين أو يروجها الجهال من المسلمين ويظنونها من الدين.
And that is, as time goes by And we're farther from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. The innovations and newly invented affairs in the religion become quantified one over the other from what the enemies of this religion have brought into it, or from what the ignoramuses from within the Muslimin have done, thinking that it is from the religion.
طالما أنه صلى الله عليه وسلم حذر من البدع والمحدثات وأمر بلزوم السنن واتباع الكتاب والسنة, ولكن كما ذكرنا أنه مع تطاول الزمن يحدث التغيير.
Even though that he عليه الصلاة والسلام warned from the innovations in the religion and directed the people toward holding fast and firm to his sunan, his prophetic traditions, and holding fast and firm to the book and the sunnah, but it is, as we have noted, the farther away we get from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam's time, the greater the innovations and the newly invented affair in the religion.
في الدين من شياطين الإنس والجن أو من الجهال الذين لا يعرفون البدعة من السنة ويظنون أن كل ما عمله الناس الذين يتسمون بالإسلام أنه من الإسلام.
And this is brought in, these innovations are brought in by the enemies of this religion, from the devils, the shayateen, the demons, and the ins, the people, or from the ignorant ones from between the Muslimin that believe that everything that whosoever is named as a Muslim does, then it is from Islam.
من رحمة الله عز وجل أنه يبعث لكل في كل مئة سنة أو في كل قرن أن يجدد هذا الدين ويميط عنه ما علق به مما ليس منه وما لبسه الجهال أو لبسه أهل الضلال لهذا الدين. الله يقيض من علماء الأمة من يقوم بتجديد هذا الدين وإزاحة ما نسب إليه.
And from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that he sends for this ummah at the head of every century or every 100 years one who will revive for this ummah its religion from the ulama, the scholars, who will clean the religion from that which is not from it that the people have brought into it.
وعلق به من البدع والمحدثات, وهذا من رحمة الله بعباده لتبقى الحجة باقية إلى أن تقوم الساعة.
And take away from it which has been attributed to it from the innovations and the misguidances.
ولأجل أن يبقى هذا الدين إلى آخر الزمان, فإن الله جل وعلا تكفل بحفظه.
So that this religion will stay till the end of time, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guaranteed its security.
فقال سبحانه إنا نحن نزلنا الذكر وإنا له حافظون.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, verily we have brought down the remembrance, and we are the ones who are guarding of it.
Allah تكفل بحفظ هذا الدين إلى الأجل الذي يعلمه سبحانه وتعالى في آخر الزمان.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who will secure this deen, who has guaranteed this deen to the day that he knows when it is, at the end of time.
لأنه دين للبشرية جميعا ودين باطن لا ينسخ ولا يبدل ولا يغير.
Because this is a religion, a way of life for all of mankind to the end of time. It is not abrogated, nor does it become abrogated, nor changed.
إلى الأجل الذي قدره الله سبحانه وتعالى.
To the time that Allah has decreed.
فكان لا بد أن يبقى هذا الدين بأصالته ونصوعه وبياضه نقيا.
So it is necessary that this religion stays upon its original form, clean, purified, untouched.
ليهتدي به من يريد الهداية.
So the one whom seeks guidance can be guided by it.
وتقوم به الحجة.
And the proof is established
على الخلق.
Upon the creation.
وقد ظهر مصداق ما أخبر به صلى الله عليه وسلم.
And the truth of what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam gave us news of has become apparent in that these mujaddideen, these revivers of the religion, have been seen in every time. And the revival of the religion doesn't mean that a person comes and adds to this religion something new. But reviving this religion is that this person makes apparent the sunan, the prophetic tradition, and shows what is an innovation and what is from the religion.
حتى يبقى هذا الدين نقيا كما تركه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لأمته.
So that this religion stays clean, pure, in its original form as the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم first brought it to his ummah, to his nation.
ومن هؤلاء المجددين الإمام الذي نحن بصدد الكلام عنه الإمام المجدد الشيخ محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله.
And from the revivers of this religion is the Imam, the chief, Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, the Imam, the scholar, the Mujaddid, Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab.
فإن هذا العالم نشأ كغيره مع أسرته وأهله في بلاد نجد.
This scholar, he was raised, like other than him, with his family and loved ones in the lands of Najd.
وكانت البلد التي ولد فيها كانت بلدة عامرة بالعلماء.
And the town that he lived in was a town that was built or had many of the scholars in it.
في الفقه الحنبلي. وأما أمور العقيدة فإنهم يمشون على ما عليه الناس في وقتهم.
And they were scholars of al-fiqh al-hanbali, and as for aqida, then they were upon what the people were upon at their time.
دون قصيرة فيما هو صحيح وما ليس بصحيح.
Without any insight into that which was true and that which was false.
إن عنايتهم كانت بالفقه وأما العقيدة فإنهم يمشون على عقيدة الأمصار الأخرى من أشاعرة وغيرهم وحتى القبورية والصوفية.
As for those scholars, then their main concern was the fiqh al-hanbali. As for aqidah, their belief, then they walked and treaded the path of the people of their time from the ashaira or al-quburiyya, the grave worshippers, and even al-sufiyya. These were the beliefs and aqa'id that were available at the time of Najd, or were running and were up, that were apparent at the time, as it was in other of the lands of the Muslimin.
ولد هذا الإمام في بلدة العيينة عام 1115 للهجرة.
This Imam was born in the town of Al-Uyayna. And this Imam, Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, was born 1115 after the Hijrah.
ونشأ في بلده وكان في بيت علم فكان أبوه قاضيا وكان جده الشيخ سليمان بن علي كان المفتي العام في نجد.
And he grew up in that town as well, and he grew up in a household of knowledge. For his father was a scholar in the fiqh al-Hanbali, and his grandfather, Sulaiman. So the sheikh, he was brought up in a household of scholars. His father was a qadi, he was a judge, and his grandfather, Sulaiman bin Ali, he was the mufti, the general mufti of the lands of Najd at that time, and his uncles from his father's side were also known scholars.
وكان البلد أيضا يمتلئ بالعلماء لكن كما ذكرنا عنايتهم إنما هي في تحرير المذهب وتحرير الفقه وأما العقيدة فإنها باقية على ما كانت وما تراها من الرواسب.
And it is as we said, the town was filled with scholars, but it is as we said that they were scholars in the fiqh of al-Hanbali. This is where their concern was, and this is where their time was put forth in studying the fiqh. As for their beliefs and aqidah, then it is as we have noted, like the beliefs and aqidah of the people of that time.
وَالْبِدَعُ وَالْمُحْدَثَاتُ لَمْ يَقُمْ أَحَدٌ بِتَنْقِيَتِهَا.
And nobody was concerned with the beliefs or the bid'ah, the innovations and the newly invented affairs. No one at that time came up to purify the religion of these types of things. And it is as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had saved this for this great scholar.
فتعلم على والده وعلى علماء بلده ثم إنه سمت همته لما استوعب العلم الذي في بلده سمت همته أن يتزود أكثر منه.
And he learned what he could from the people of his town, his father and his relatives and the people of the village. And when he had learned this knowledge and filled himself with it, his himma became greater for to learn even more. He became more eager to learn more of the knowledge.
فذهب إلى مكة والمدينة والتقى بعلمائها.
So he traveled to Mecca and Medina and learned from its ulama, its scholars. And he took from them, the ijazat, the certificates to convey the knowledge from them.
في الحديث وفي غيره. وإن كان ذلك في مدة قصيرة.
In the sciences of hadith and other than it, even if this was in a short period of time.
لكنها مباركة. ثم ذهب بعد ذلك.
But it was very blessed.
إلى بلاد الأحساء. وكان فيها علماء من مختلف المذاهب الأربعة.
And after this, the Shaykh حفظه الله, he said the Imam, after taking from Mecca or Medina and its scholars, he moved on to a different land that I could not make out, but it seems like he moved east. And there in those lands was scholars of many different types.
وكان فيها علماء من مختلف المذاهب الأربعة ولا سيما المذهب الحنبلي.
So there were scholars in this place that were from all of the four madahib, and of course of them was the fiqh of and the scholars of the fiqh al-Hanbali.
فجلس فيها فترة وتعلم على علمائها في الفقه والحديث والتفسير.
So he sat for a while and learned from its scholars, from the fiqh and hadith and other sciences.
كان في كل أحواله في بلاد نجد وفي الحجاز وفي بلاد الأحساء كان معنيا بمطالعة الكتب.
And in all of his time, his situation in all of the lands he was in Najd, Mecca, Al-Madina, and the lands of Al-Ahsa, as the Sheikh said, he was very eager in looking into the books and researching.
لا سيما كتب شيخ الإسلام بن تيمية تلميذه ابن القيم رحمهما الله وكان معنيا بنسخ الكتب بقلمه فما وجد مؤلفا لأحد الشيخين قام بنسخه وتملكه.
And of course, of these books that he liked to look through and research in were the books of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah and his student Ibn al-Qayyim. So whatever book he came upon of theirs, he would write it down with his own handwriting.
حتى توفرت عنده مكتبة ضخمة من المخطوطات بقلمه رحمه الله.
Until he had a huge, enormous library of books that he wrote with his own hands. May Allah have mercy upon him.
ثم إنه سمت همته إلى أن يذهب إلى العراق وكان آهلا بالعلماء في ذاك الوقت.
And then his himma, his zealousness became greater to go toward the lands of Al-Iraq.
فذهب إلى العراق للأخذ عن علمائها وذهب إلى البصرة.
So he went forward and moved to Al-Iraq to take from its scholars, and he moved to Al-Basra.
كانت عامرة بالعلماء فأخذ عن علمائها في الفقه والحديث والتفسير واللغة العربية.
And it was known for the scholars in it, so he took from its scholars of the sciences of fiqh and hadith and tafsir and the language of al-Arabiyyah.
تبحر في العلوم وكان قد بدأ يؤلف الرسائل وهو في البصرة ويذكر أنه ألف كتاب التوحيد الذي هو حق الله على العبيد وهو في العراق.
And he started to delve into the sciences and learn, and then he started to write some of the small letters and books, and it is noted that his book Kitab al-Tawheed, the rights of Allah upon his abid, upon his slaves, was written in Al-Iraq.
ثم إنه أراد المزيد من العلم فهم أن يذهب إلى الشام للتلقي العلم عن علمائها ولا سيما الحنابلة فإن فيها أئمة كبارا في المذهب الحنبلي.
And then he became more thirsty for the knowledge, and he made a move toward Al-Sham so that he may take from his scholars, for it was known with the great scholars. And of course, the scholars of Madhab al-Hanbali, he wanted to see them as well, For there in the Sham was great scholars and imma of that fiqh.
فدفع أما بالذهاب ولكن لبعد المسافة ومشقة السفر وهو ليس معه وسيلة نقل إلا قدميه فإنه خرج متوجها يريد السفر إلى الشام لعله يجد من القوافل أو من المسافرين من يصحبهم لكنه لم يجد أحدا.
So he prepared himself and went forth for the trip to Asham, and he was alone and had no means of transportation other than his legs, his feet. So he started walking in the direction of Asham, hoping that he might find a caravan or something of that sort going toward Asham, that he may get a ride with them. But he did not find anything.
فأدركه العطش وكاد أن يموت من العطش ومن الجوع فيسر الله له رجلا معه دابة يحمل عليها الماء ويحمل عليها بعض الأغذية فأنقذ الشيخ رحمه الله وسقاه وأطعمه ورجع به إلى البصرة.
On his way to Bilad al-Sham, he almost died of thirst and hunger and weakness, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved him by a man that was passing by, and he had a beast to ride on, and he packed on it food or some drink and some food. So he of course gave the sheikh, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved him by this man, and the man took him back to the lands of Basra.
ثم إنه بعد ذلك عاد إلى نجد متضلعا بالعلم في ذاكرته وفي كتبه.
And after this, he moved back to the lands of Najd with the tremendous knowledge he had gained and those that were in his books and what was in his memory as well.
فعاد مؤهلا ومسلحا بالعلم النافع في الأصول والفروع.
So he returned a person of knowledge, and he was equipped with knowledge both in the foundations, the usul, and the branches, the furu.
فباشر الدعوة في أول أمره في بلده العيينة ثم إنه لم يطد له المقام فيها لأنه لم يجد فيها من يساعده على ما يريد.
He began his da'wah when he returned back to his land, and he began it in his hometown, Al-Uyayna. But that did not last long. He did not find anyone to take from him, nor did he find a'wan. He did not find people to help him out in this da'wah.
إلا أنه تأثر به من أهل العيينة من تأثر وانتفع به من انتفع ثم وفي النهاية الأمير العيينة طلب منه المغادرة.
Except that while he was there, whosoever had benefited from him benefited, and whomsoever was affected by him was affected. But in the end, the Amir of Al-Uyayna had asked him to depart it.
من العيينة فتوجه إلى بلد الدرعية وهي قريبة من العيينة ذهب إليها لعله يجد من يناصره.
So he proceeded to move on to the town of Al-Dir'iyya, and it is a close town to Al-Uyayna, hoping that he might find there someone that would help him in this da'wah.
وهذا اقتداء بالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فإن الداعية الذي يدعو إلى الله لا بد من سلطة تؤذره وتعينه.
And this is his taking an example from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he did as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did, because the caller, he needs, or he should have, those who help him and put forth his da'wah with him and give him support.
أما أن يدعو بدون أن يكون معه سلطان يساعده وينفذ ما يدعو إليه فهذه الدعوة بدون سلطان تكون ناقصة ونفعها قليل.
But as for the person giving da'wah and he does not have a sultan, that is a power, to implement that which he is calling to, then the effects of it will be, or this da'wah will be naqis. This da'wah would be not sufficient. It would be missing something. And the effect of it would be little.
فلذلك اقتدى بالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فإن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يعرض نفسه على القبائل في موسم الحج يلتمس من يساعده على تبليغ الدعوة.
And this is his following the path of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم. For the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he used to put himself forth in front of the tribes to see who of them would help him, who of them would help him put forth his da'wah.
ويؤازره ويحميه من أذى قومه. ثم إن الله قيض له صلى الله عليه وسلم الأنصار الذين جاءوا للحج فقرأ عليهم القرآن فدخل في قلوبهم وتقبلوه وبايعوه على الإسلام وعلى أن يهاجر إليهم وأن يناصروه.
So the caller, he looks for the one who will give him support and protection, and this is what the Prophet ﷺ did until the Ansar came along on their trip to Hajj and they listened to the Quran and it entered into their hearts and they accepted it and they submitted and gave bay'ah to the Prophet ﷺ. وَيُؤَازِرُوهُ وَقَدْ صَدَقُوا مَا
عَهَدُوا اللَّهَ عَلَيْهِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَأَرْضَاهُمْ.
And they gave him the bay'ah that they would follow and protect him and help him and support him, and they were truthful. May Allah bestow His mercy upon them.
هم وإخوانهم المهاجرون الذين هاجروا من مكة عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم تآزروا في نصرة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
Likewise, them, the Ansar, and the Muhajirin, they came together and they helped each other in supporting the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam and spreading his da'wah.
فوجد بذلك سلطانا قويا يركن إليه والشيخ رحمه الله اقتدى بالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في ذلك.
And I missed the point. And the Ansar had gave him bay'ah that he may come to them and make hijrah and have power there, and they gave him bay'ah upon this, and they were truthful, and likewise the Muhajirin followed suit. And this is what the Shaykh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab did. He followed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam in his way.
فطلب من الأمراء أن يساعدوه. انتهى به الأمر إلى الأمير محمد بن سعود فدخل الإيمان في قلبه واستجاب لدعوة الشيخ وبايعه على كتاب الله وسنة رسوله وعلى النصرة والجهاد في سبيل الله فتمت البيعة.
And this is what the Shaykh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab did. He went to the tribes and the towns and he put himself and his da'wah forth to find who will support him, who will grant him, who will give him protection and support in his da'wah until he came upon Na'am. So he came upon Muhammad, the Amir Muhammad ibn Sa'ud, and he heard from him his da'wah, and Iman entered into the Amir's heart and he accepted it and he gave him the bay'ah of upon the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and supporting the da'wah and fighting in it and struggling in its cause. And he, and this is where they went forth from.
ووجد عند هذا الأمير النصرة والقوة فسكن في الدرعية.
He found with this Amir protection and power. So this is where he this is where he lived in الدرعية.
وفي خلال إقامته الدرعية واصل الدعوة إلى الله على طمأنينة لأنه الآن استقر ووجد المأوى ووجد الأنصار ووجد السلطة التي تؤازره فنشط في الدعوة.
And in his stay in الدرعية he found in it serenity and security, so he went forth with the da'wah because now he has behind him power and the ability to give da'wah without fear, because there is a sultan that is supporting him, a power that is supporting him.
وكان يعمل في مجالات يعمل في كتابة الرسائل إلى البلدان يدعوهم إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى ويعمل في مجال التدريس.
And his da'wah, he would do, he would give his da'wah in different forms. Of it is that he would write letters to the tribes that were around, calling them to Allah, calling them to the correct path, and in it that he, and also he would teach those around him.
فكان له طلاب يلازمونه ويلقي عليهم الدروس وكان أيضا يشتغل بتأليف الكتب الكبيرة.
So around him were students that were with him the majority of the time, taking from him, and he would bestow upon him upon them his knowledge, and he also would work on the books that are larger, the larger books.
وكان يخطب الجمعة والأعياد فيتولى الخطابة والإمامة ويتولى التدريس ويتولى الإفتاء.
He would also be the one who would give khutbah on the Eid and the Jum'ah, and he was a person that was teaching and writing, and he took upon himself the khitaba, giving the khutbah, and the imama, leading the people, and giving al-ifta, the verdicts.
ويتولى القضاء أيضا فقام بالمهام كما كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقوم بكل المهام.
And also he was a judge, so he became a judge between them, and he took upon himself the important things as he alayhi salatu wasalam did from before. He took upon himself the maham, the important issues.
هو له به قدوة فقام بهذه المهام كلها رحمه الله إلى أن انتشرت دعوته.
So he took the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam as his model in doing these things, and he took upon himself the important issues in the society as he alayhi salatu wasalam did from before, and with this his da'wah started to spread.
في بلاد نجد وانتشرت خارج بلاد نجد وعمت غالب الجزيرة.
So it spread in the lands of Najd and outside the lands of Najd, and it reached most of the Arabian Peninsula.
ودخلت تحت حكم آل سعود وكان العالم الذي يرجعون إليه هو الشيخ محمد بن عبد الوهاب.
And most of the towns, villages and tribes, they entered under the Sultan, under the leadership of Ali Sa'ud. And the Shaykh and the person they would go back to in their fatwa was the Shaykh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab.
والإمام الذي يرجعون إليه السلطة هو الأمير أو الإمام محمد بن سعود.
And the Imam that they returned to when it came to the issues of power and Sultan was the Imam Muhammad or the Amir Muhammad ibn Saud.
امتدت دعوته من حدود الشام إلى اليمن إلى الحجاز إلى الخليج العربي بل امتدت إلى خارج الجزيرة وتسامع بها الناس الذين يريدون الحق قبلوها وآزروها وأيدوها وقاموا يدعون إلى الله.
And his da'wah reached, the extent of the da'wah reached the boundaries of Asham and the territories of Al-Hijaz and Najd and most of the Arabian Peninsula to Al-Yemen, and it reached outside of them as well to all that wanted the guidance and those who took upon themselves calling to it and preaching the da'wah.
على غرارها في بلدانهم وبذلك انتشرت الدعوة وبانتشار التعليم وبانتشار الكتب النافعة وبإنكار البدع ومن أهم ما قام به رحمه الله.
So everyone that learned it taught it to the people in their land. And this is how the da'wah started to spread to all parts, and it spread with the increase of knowledge in the lands and the writings and the books getting around.
أنه أزال مظاهر الشرك من بلاد نجد.
And from the major points that this Sheikh rahimahullah he put forth in his da'wah is that he obliterated or took away all of the mazahir, the apparent issues concerning shirk, associating partners with Allah. So he took anything that resembled that and destroyed it.
فهجم القباب المبنية على القبور وقطع الأشجار التي تعبد من دون الله ورد على شبهات الذين يروجون هذه الخرافات.
So he destroyed the graves that were built upon, and he cut down the trees that were worshipped, and he refuted the doubts of the doubtful.
حتى انتصرت الدعوة وقرت عين الشيخ رحمه الله انتشار دعوته على امتداد الجزيرة وعمره الله عمرا طويلا إلى أن وافاه الأجل في سنة 1206 للهجرة.
And with this, the Shaykh's da'wah started to spread, and he saw before the end of his time the da'wah spreading, and Allah pleased him with that, and he lived a long life. Rahimahullah, he died in the year 1206 after the Hijrah.
هذا الكبر قرير العين وقد انتشرت الدعوة وقام أبناؤه وتلاميذه من بعده واطمأن على أنهم سيقومون بذلك وأوصاهم بذلك وحثهم على الاستمرار.
And he رحمه الله lived a long life, and in that life he was pleased with the effects of the da'wah he saw, and after him he saw that his students and his grandchildren that came would be able to present, yani they were able to continue. He was happy to see that they were able to continue this da'wah, and that they would, and in this he advised them to continue and strive and struggle in the path of this da'wah.
فقاموا بالدعوة من بعده ولا يزال هذا مستمرا إلى وقتنا هذا ولله الحمد.
And they did for his students and his grandchildren, they upheld this da'wah and they continue forth in calling toward it, and we all thanks is due to Allah.
وهذه الدعوة تنتشر وتستضيء والدعاة إلى الله ينهلون منها ويبلغونها للناس لأنها منهج سليم وخط مستقيم لا وجاج فيه على دعوة الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم.
And this da'wah is still being put forth, walillahi alhamd, by its callers and its scholars and the people that hear about it, they put it forth. Because this is the da'wah that is upon the straight, mustaqim path. It is the da'wah that is clear and truthful, that there is no doubts, nor is there any i'wijaj in it, nor is there any crookedness in it.
وبهذا استقرت الدعوة في بلاد نجد وامتدت إلى الأقطار وإلى خارج الجزيرة ولا تزال ولله الحمد حتى.
So this da'wah is upon the correct methodology. It is upon the straight path. And his sons and his students continue to spread it. And this is how the da'wah has been made firm and placed in the Arabian Peninsula. And from it, it spreads to the different lands and continents. Even you, in this faraway land from the peninsula, you still benefit. You are reaping the benefit of this da'wah right now from its books and its students and its teachers and its scholars.
وَهَذَا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ علينا وعلى الناس ولكن أكثر الناس لا يشكرون.
And this is from the blessings of Allah upon us and upon the people, but most of the people, they do not give thanks.
نسأل الله عز وجل أن يغفر لشيخنا الشيخ الإمام محمد بن عبد الوهاب وأن يجزيه عن الأمة خير الجزاء وأن تستمر هذه الدعوة وهذا النفع ليستمر ذلك ثوابه له كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم.
So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he may have mercy upon this sheikh and upon its followers, and that this da'wah continue to spread and the people continue to benefit.
إذا مات ابن آدم انقطع عمله إلا من ثلاث صدقة جارية أو علم ينتفع به أو ولد صالح يدعو له.
As the Prophet صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم said, when the son of Adam dies, everything is cut off from him except for three: a sadaqah that is continuous after his death, a charity that is continuous after his death, and a knowledge that the people may benefit from after him, and a righteous son or a righteous child that may make dua and supplicate for him.
هذا من رحمة الله عز وجل أن هذا الدين وهذه الدعوة وهذا التوحيد انتشر ولا يزال ينتشر بسبب هذه الدعوة.
So this is from the benefit and the blessings Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, that this deen, this religion, this way of life, this manhaj, this aqidah, this belief continues to spread in all parts of the land.
المباركة التي كتب الله لها البقاء. وهكذا الدعوة الصحيحة كم الآن من الدعاة ومن المؤسسات الدعوية ومن لكن أين النفع الذي يوازي نفع دعوة رجل واحد.
And this blessed da'wah that Allah has put will keep preserved until the end of time. This is the da'wah. And this is the da'wah that Allah has preserved and has blessed till the end of time. And look, how many institutions, how many callers and callings are there out there that have the same effect, the same blessed calling, the same nafi', the same benefit that this one da'wah, this one man has brought forth.
مثل الشيخ محمد بن عبد الوهاب. فالمسألة ليست مسألة الكثرة، وإنما المسألة مسألة الإخلاص لله، وأن تكون الدعوة على بصيرة وعلى علم وعلى هدى من الله.
So how many callings have, how many, which da'wah other than this da'wah of the Shaykh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab has brought forth the benefit that this da'wah has brought forth? So the question is not a question of quantity, it is a question of sincerity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
قال الله جل وعلا أما الزبد فيذهب جفاء وأما ما ينفع الناس فيمكث في الأرض.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us, as for the zabad, that is the waste, or the froth, it will go upon this earth, it will disappear, or go unnoticed upon this earth. As for that which benefits the people, then it will stay.
Nas'alullah azza wa jal an yajzi shaykhana خير الجزاء وأن يثبتنا وإياكم وجميع المسلمين على الحق وأن نكون من الدعاة إليه على بصيرة.
And this, نعم, this is a question of sincerity. This is a question of calling to Allah upon clear insight and knowledge. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the previous ayah we just noted, as for the zabad, the waste, then it will go and disappear and will not stay upon this earth. And as for that which benefits the people, then it will stay. So we ask Allah that He gives the jaza, He gives the good of this to the Shaykh, and He bestows upon him and He bestows upon us His mercy, and makes us firm upon this path and callers of this callers to this da'wah.
Sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in.
And we send the peace and the prayer upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and his family and his companions, all of them.
أحسن الله إليكم وبارك الله فيكم. شيخنا حفظكم الله، الآن نعرض عليكم أسئلة.
أي نعم يعرض.
جزاكم الله خيرا وبارك الله فيكم. سائل يقول: بعض دعاة من أهل البدعة الذين لهم سودة وجولة في هذه البلاد يحاولون بشتى الوسائل تشويه سمعة هذا الإمام، ويدعون أنه حالف الإنجليز ضد الخلافة العثمانية وسعى في سقوطها، فكيف نرد على هؤلاء؟ The question is, some very active du'as from among the innovators in this country are trying their best to destroy the reputation of this Imam, and they claim that Imam Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab allied English army against the Ottoman Khilafa, and that he fought hard against it until it collapsed. So how do we refute such claim? أَفِيدُونَا بَارَكَ اللَّهُ فِيكُمْ.
أولا كون الشيخ يظهر له خصوم وآداء وأنه يشوه دعوته وأنه يتهم بما بالتهم، هذا حصل للرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم.
First of all, concerning the Shaykh having enemies and people trying to refute him or people trying to destroy or make to hurt him and his da'wah and destroy his credibility, then this happened to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam from before him.
الحصل للأنبياء جميعا أنهم يقابلون بالسوء ويقابلون بالاتهامات.
And this happened to the, in fact, this happened to all of the prophets from before him, that they will be fought with asu, with ill action, and they will be lied upon and accused of things that they did not do.
ولكنهم لا يلتفتون إليها بل يمضون في دعوتهم لأن القصد ليس مدح الناس أو ثناء الناس أو رضا الناس وإنما القصد إرضاء الله جل وعلا.
But they do not look toward these things, nor do they ask about them, because the meaning or the reason behind their actions is not the people, nor is it making the people happy or making them accepting of you. But the reason behind it, the qasd, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is accepting of what you do and He likes what you do. So it is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they continue in their da'wah and do not look toward these things.
قال صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يتمس رضا الناس بسخط الله سخط الله عليه وأسخط عليه الناس ومن يتمس رضا الله بسخط الناس رضي الله عنه وأرضى عنه الناس.
And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, the one whom seeks the rida, the acceptance of the people of him through or by the sakhat or by the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if this person he seeks, subhanallah, the person who seeks the rida, the acceptance of the people, even though it angers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah will be angry with him and make the people angry with him as well. And the one who seeks the acceptance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if it angers the people, then Allah will accept him and force the people to accept him as well.
الناحية الثانية أن هؤلاء يروجون ويشوهون دعوة الشيخ ويقولون الدعوة ولله الحمد ناصعة ولا يؤثر فيها هذه الترهات وهذه الأباطيل ونحن نحاكمهم إلى كلام الشيخ.
And second of all, these people that say and talk and rant and rave about the Shaykh, then alhamdulillah, this da'wah continues to go forward and increase even with all of their opposition toward it. And we direct them toward the sayings of a Shaykh.
وَإِلَى كُتُبِهِ فَإِنْ وَجَدُوا فِيهَا مَا يُؤَيِّدْ مَا يَقُولُونَ فَعَلَيْهِمْ أَن يُدْرِسُوهُ.
And we direct them toward finding in the sayings of the Shaykh and his books and writings that which will support what they accuse him of. And if they find it, we ask them to make it apparent to the people and show it to us.
كتبه الآن موجودة ومحفوظة فنطلب منهم ونتحداهم تحديا أن يأتوا بإثبات ما يقولون عن دعوة الشيخ.
His books are present and they are printed. So look, let them look in them and find that which supports their accusations. So here, we challenge them. This is a challenge. Find something in his books that supports these accusations you have.
هذه ناحية ثانية. الناحية الثالثة مسألة الخلافة فإن بلاد نجد لم تدخل تحت حكم الأتراك وإنما هي كانت يد أمرائها كل بلد عليه أمير ولذلك الشيخ رحمه الله ذهب إلى الأمير محمد بن سعود.
As for the question of al-Khilafa, at that time, Bilad Najd, the lands of Najd, was not under the Khilafa. They were not under the jurisdiction of the Khalifa of that time. But the power or the authority was put under their Umara, their leaders. So every town, every village and city in that area had its own leaders. This is why the Shaykh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, he went to a leader. The leader was Muhammad bin Sa'ud.
لما أراد أن يدعو إلى الله، لأنه هو الأمير وهو الوالي وهو السلطة، فبايعه على الكتاب والسنة.
So he went to the leader, which was Muhammad ibn Saud, because he was the one who was the Amir, and he was the one who had the power, and he was the one who was the wali of the who was the wali over the people, and he called him to his da'wah.
ولم يخرج على الخلافة لأن البلاد نجد بأيدي أهلها، وهو لجأ إلى أمير من أمرائها، وبالتالي كل أمراء البلاد النجدية انضوا تحت إمارة محمد بن سعود وصاروا دولة واحدة.
So the Sheikh, he did not make khuruj. He did not go outside of the. So he did not make khuruj on the khilafah of that time. He went to the leaders of. He went to the leaders of those whom were around, that were around him, and he called them. And this is why the Arabian Peninsula all came under the power, or all came under the jurisdiction of Muhammad ibn Saud.
ببركة هذه الدعوة. نعم.
أحسن الله إليكم وبارك الله فيكم.
The next question is, I purchased the land for investment, and for 3 years it didn't produce anything, nor was there any developments on it or profit from it. Now I sold the land with $200,000 profit. So do I have to pay the zakat for 3 years or just 1 year, or should I wait for 1 year, and how much would be the zakat?
سائل يقول أنه اشترى الأرض للاستثمار والمرابحة، فبقيت عندي 3 سنوات ولم أبني عليه شيء ولم أستفد منه أي ربح، والآن بعتها بالربح $100,000 ربحا، فهل علي دفع زكاة ل3 سنوات أو لسنة واحدة، أو أنتظر سنة حتى يحول العام على هذا المبلغ الذي ربحته؟ وكم من المبلغ يجب إخراجه من $100,000؟ أفيدونا بارك الله فيكم.
يا أخي، المدار على النية، ما دام أنك ناويها للبيع ولو بقيت سنين، ما دامت أنها منوية للبيع فهي أرض تجارية ولها حكم عروض التجارة.
أخي، this is issue that concerns your intention. So as long as you had intended to buy it for tijara, for business, then this is what it's for. It's for business.
تثمن عند رأس الحول بما تساوي، تقوم عند رأس الحول بما تساوي وتزكى ولو لم تبعها، لأنك قد نويتها للبيع وصارت تجارية.
So what, every year you find يعني you estimate its value. نعم. So you intended to buy this for business purposes, therefore it falls under the classification of business. And at the head of each year, or the year that it goes, يعني you have it for, you estimate its value and you give zakah based on its value at the head of each year.
لأنك قد نويتها للبيع وصارت تجارية.
This is because you intended it for business means, and you intended to buy and sell with it, or and you bought it for selling purposes. So it's a business transaction, and it falls under the classification of business.
يجب عليك أن تزكيها عن كل سنة. السنين الماضية تثمنها عن كل سنة بما تساوي، وفي السنة الأخيرة القيمة التي بعتها به، تجمع الجميع وتخرج ربع العشرة، 2.5%.
So it is wajib upon you that you give zakah for each year. You find the value of each year and you get the zakah amount for that. And for the last year, you give zakah on the amount you have. So you combine those together and you take half of a tenth, that's 2.5%, and you extract from that zakah.
2.5% من كل 100 ريال أو من كل 100 دينار. نعم.
So it's 2.5% for every 100 dinar or riyal.
أحسن الله إليكم وبارك الله فيكم.
The next question is from England. The brother wrote, we have a group of individuals in our city who are hasty in making tabdi'ah and openly warning against and ordering hajr of others from Ahl Sunnah who do not agree with them in certain issues or in taking positions against certain individuals. This ghulu has led to the splitting of Ahl Sunnah in Britain and has made people turn away from the deen and the da'wah. So what is your advice regarding these individuals and their like?
هذا سؤال من بريطانيا. يقول السائل, فضيلة الشيخ, في مدينتنا يوجد مجموعة من الناس وقد صدر منهم التسرع بالتبديع والتحذير والأمر بحجر بعض أهل السنة الذين لم يوافقوهم في بعض المسائل أو في بعض المواقف ضد أناس, فهذا الغلو قد أدى إلى تفرق صفوف أهل السنة في بريطانيا وإلى تنفير الناس عن الدين والدعوة, فما هي نصيحتكم تجاه هؤلاء وامثالهم أفيدونا بارك الله فيكم.
وصيتي لكم أن تتجهوا إلى طلب العلم وتتركوا المنازعات والخصومات, فإذا طلبتم العلم وحصلتم العلم عرفتم الحل الذي تتوجهون به نحو هذه النزاعات. ما دام الجميع يجهلون فإن النزاع سيكثر.
My advice to you is that you seek knowledge. You continue in your path in seeking knowledge so that when you do have that knowledge, you will know what the solution is to your problem. But as long as that you're all ignorant, then these disputes and arguments between you will continue. So seek knowledge and leave off the argumentation and dispute.
وسيدوم ألا يزول إلا بطلب العلم, فعليكم بالإقبال على طلب العلم وعدم الالتفات إلى الذين يبدعون أو يفسقون أو يسبون, فتركوهم لا تلتفتوا إليهم وامضوا في طريقكم.
So you continue in your seeking of knowledge and this is the only solution to your problem, and do not look toward the people that are hasty in making tabdi'ah, declaring people innovators, أو تفسيق, declaring people fasiq, or that they curse, or that they curse other people. Do not look toward them and continue in your seeking of knowledge.
أحسن الله إليكم وبارك الله فيكم.
Sister asks, I would like to know what is the ruling on one raising hand when the imam makes dua after the khutbah.
سائلة تقول, ما حكم رفع اليدين عندما يدعو الإمام بعد خطبة الجمعة؟
ما يجوز الاستسقاء, إذا استسقى وطلب إذا نزول المطر يرفعون أيديهم, أما الدعاء العادي الذي ليس استسقاء يؤمنون بدون رفع الأيدي.
This raising of the hands is permissible when you are making istisqa, when the imam is making dua for rain. And this is when it is permissible. Otherwise, you just say ameen without raising your hands.
أحسن الله إليكم وبارك الله فيكم.
Is restricting the da'wah of Ahl Sunnah to specific scholars or specific da'wah organizations from the manhaj of the Anbiya in calling to Allah, or is it from the ways of the people of Hizbiya and splitting?
سائل يقول, هل حصر دعوة أهل السنة والجماعة في العلماء المعينين أو في المؤسسات الدعوية المعينة من منهج الأنبياء في الدعوة إلى الله, أم هي من أساليب أهل التحزب والتفرق؟
يا أخي, الدعوة لا يقوم بها إلا العلماء, الجهال لا يصلحون للدعوة. قال الله جل وعلا, قل هذه سبيلي أدعو إلى الله على بصيرة, على بصيرة وهي العلم.
My brother, the da'wah can only be through knowledge and through the scholars. The ignoramuses cannot uphold the da'wah, nor can they go forward with it. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I call to the path upon clear guidance me and those who follow me.
أنا ومن اتبعني وسبحان الله وما أنا من المشركين.
And the end of the ayah, which I missed, is وَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Glorified be Allah, and I am not from the mushrikeen.
قال تعالى أدعو إلى سبيل ربك بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة وجادلهم بالتي هي أحسن وهذه الأمور لا تتم إلا بالعلم.
And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, call them with wisdom and with good admonition. The Shaykh, he said concerning this answer again that, my brother, only the ulama can go forth with the da'wah, only the ulama can make da'wah. A ignorant person is not in a position to give da'wah. It is not his, he cannot give da'wah as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I call to my Lord upon clear insight, me and those whom follow me, and glorified be Allah, and I am not from the mushrikeen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, and call to the path of your Lord with good admonition and wisdom. Once again, the ayat are, say, I call to my path with wisdom and clear insight, me and those whom follow me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and call to the path of your Lord with wisdom and good admonition, and debate with them in the best of manner. And these steps cannot be taken except with knowledge. And
الجاهل لا يستطيع أن يقوم بهذه الخطوات التي ذكر الله سبحانه وتعالى.
So these steps cannot be taken except with knowledge, and the people who have knowledge are the scholars. And the ignorant people cannot take these steps. They cannot take them because they don't know them. They're ignorant.
لا دعوة إلا بعلم ولا علم إلا بتعلم ولا تعلم إلا على أيدي العلماء الراسخين.
So there is no da'wah, there is no calling except with knowledge, and there is no knowledge except with learning, and there is no learning except upon the learned, the people of knowledge. The people of knowledge who are rasikhin, that are firm in their knowledge.
الَّذِينَ صَلَحَتْ عَقِيدَتُهُمْ وَصَلَحَتْ سِيرَتُهُمْ وَهُمْ أَهْلُ التَّقْوَى وَأَهْلُ الْخَوْفِ مِنَ اللَّهِ عَزِّ وَجَلُ.
The people of knowledge whom their belief is correct and upright, and their actions are righteous, and they are from the atqiya, the ones whom fear Allah Azza wa Jal.
كَمَا قَالَ تَعَالَى إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاء.
As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, verily Allah, the ones whom fear Allah or whom have khashya of Allah, who are conscious of Allah, are the ulama, the scholars.
أحسن الله إليكم وبارك الله فيكم. And the next question is from a brother, says, my parents are not upon the correct methodology, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided me to the Quran and Sunnah upon the methodology of Sahaba. But my parents are causing trouble for me, and they claim that all of the scholars in Saudiya are Wahhabis, and that scholars of Saudiya do not consider the four madhahib to be legitimate, and they degrade them from their just position. Therefore, it is not permissible to take knowledge from the scholars of Saudiya. So how do we refute this shubha? فضيلة الشيخ حفظكم الله سائل يقول أبي وأمي ليسوا على منهج المستقيم ولقد هداني الله إلى القرآن والسنة
وعلى منهج الصحابة، ولكنهم يسببون لي مشاكل، وهم يقولون ويدعون أن العلماء السعودية كلهم وهابيون لا يعتبرون بالمذاهب الأربعة ويقللون من شأنهم، فلذلك لا يجوز الأخذ عنهم، فكيف ترد على هذه الشبهة؟ أفيدونا بارك الله فيكم.
هذا كذب، العلماء في السعودية لا يحرمون الأخذ بالمذاهب الأربعة، وهي موجودة وتدرس في بلادنا، فهذا الكلام باطل.
This is a lie. The Sheikh حفظه الله says it is not true. The ulama in Saudiya do not make it haram, prohibited, to follow the four madhahib, and they are taught in this land.
والمذاهب الأربعة باقية وتدرس، ولكن الفتوى والعمل على المذهب الحنبلي.
So the four madhahib are found and they are taught and they are learned. So this is batil. This is incorrect. And but concerning the fatwa, giving the verdict and the laws, then these are based on the fiqh of al-fiqh al-hanbali.
لأنه هو مذهب ال هو مذهب الفتوى ومذهب ولاة الأمور، وهذا ليس بغريب.
Because this is the madhab of al-fatwa here, and this is the madhab of the leaders in this area, and this is not something that is strange.
كل دولة تنتهج منهجا ما دام انه موافق للكتاب والسنة ولو كان في احد المذاهب الاربعة.
Because every دولة, every nation, every country follows a path, and as long as this manhaj that they follow is not in contradictory to the book and the sunnah, then it is not contradicting, and there is no problem.
أما إنه يحكم بكل المذاهب الأربعة في بلد واحد، فهذا يحدث التشتت ويحدث الاضطراب ويحدث الفوضى، فلا بد أن تتوحد الفتوى وتوحد المنهج العلمي والتدريس حتى لا يسلم من الاختلاف.
As for following all four madhahib in one area, then this is going to cause confusion and disputes and splitting. So it is necessary that the fatwa and the manhaj, the methodology be one and be followed in the same way, and that the ways of teaching and learning are all in one way.
والمذاهب تدرس للاستفادة، المذاهب الأربعة تدرس للاستفادة والمقارنة والاستفادة منها ومعرفة أدلتها والأخذ بالراجح.
And the four madhahib are studied for the benefit, and the benefit of them is knowing the proofs that they come with and taking the best opinion from between them. Okay then.
إذا كان القول الراجح في غير مذهب الحنابلة نأخذ به كما كان مشايخنا يأخذون بالقول الراجح ولو خالف مذهب الحنابلة.
And we take with the strongest saying, the rajih, even if it is in opposition to the madhab al-hanbali. And this is how our mashayikh from before have done.
لأن المهمة هي إصابة الحق، ونحن لا نتعصب لمذهب الحنابلة، فلذا تبين لنا الدليل في أحد المذاهب الأربعة نأخذ به.
Because what is important here is that we find the haqq, we find the truth and we follow it. So if we find the truth with any one of the other four madhahib, then we take it and we follow.
أحسن الله إليكم وبارك الله فيكم. The next question is it permissible for a divorced woman to get married if she has a daughter who is 18? And if she does get married, is the man the girl's mahram?
السائل يقول هل يجوز للمرأة مطلقة أن تتزوج ولديها بنت بعمر 18 سنة، وإذا تزوجت فهل زوجها يكون محرما لبنتها؟ أفيدونا بارك الله فيكم.
نعم، المرأة لها أن تتزوج
لأنها بحاجة إلى الزواج، ولو كان عندها بنت أو عندها أولاد تتزوج لأجل أن تحصل على الفوائد الزوجية.
Yes, the woman can get married, and she should, and she should get married, even if she has children. And this is so that she may benefit from the benefits of being married.
وهذا لا يؤثر على أولادها وعلى بناتها. وأما زوجها الثاني فيكون محرما لبناتها من الزوج الأول لأنهن ربائب. الله جل وعلا ذكر في المحرمات وربائبكم التي في حجوركم من نسائكم التي دخلتم بهن.
نعم. And she should get married, and the second husband is a mahram for her children because he married her, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and they are called raba'ib, the ones whom are raised in your house, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Na'am, so the second husband is a mahram for her children that came from the first husband, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and your raba'ib, those are the children raised up in your house, are muharram, they are prohibited for you, for the women, or because of the women that you have married and entered into.
الله جل وعلا ذكر في المحرمات وربائبكم التي في حجوركم من نسائكم التي دخلتم بهن.
So that was the ayah, and I would check the translation again in one of the translations of the Quran if I were you.
أحسن الله إليكم وبارك الله فيكم.
The next question is it permissible for my co-wife to give my son, which has no relation to Zawj, 5 sucks or a cup of breast milk? He is 11 years old. Would that make her his suckle mother?
سائل يقول هل يجوز لزوجتي أن ترضع ابني 5 رضاعات أو كأسي لبنها بناء علما أن عمره 11 سنة؟ فهل بهذا يصبح محرما لها إذا شرب منها من كلا طريقان؟
لا الرضاع الكبير المفطوم بعد الفطام لا يحرم. الرضاع بعد الفطام بعد سنتين لا يحرم ولا أثر له.
The Sheikh, in reply to this question about the suckling, he says no. The child after al-fitam, that is that he is finished breastfeeding, after this, suckling again would not make him haram. It would not make him haram.
The
Sheikh continues to say, if he's eaten food, solid food, and that he can suffice with that, then milk has no effect on him. The milk of the woman.
أحسن الله إليكم وبارك الله فيكم.
The next question is, I am a Muslim woman who wants to become a doctor. However, people discourage it because I will have to go to a co-ed college, and they say that I will be intermingling with men there. But there are no all-girls colleges in my area, and my goal is to serve the sisters in my community. I am married and I do not seek to mingle with men. What is the ruling for this? فضيلة الشيخ حفظكم الله. سائلة تقول أنا مسلمة وأريد أن أكون طبيبة لكن الناس لا يشجعوني بدعوى أنني سأدرس في الجامعة المختلفة ولكن لا توجد في منطقتي جامعة خاص للبنات وهدفي أن أكون طبيبة لمساعدة المسلمات في مدينتنا
فما نصيحتكم لأفيدون بارك الله فيكم؟
محافظة المرأة والفتاة على كرامتها وعفتها وحجابها وتجنبها للاختلاط هذا ألزم عليها وأوجب عليها من التعلم الذي فيه اختلاط.
the woman preserving her honor and her sharaf, her dignity, is more binding upon her than her learning a science that makes that obligates her to go out and intermingle with the men.
وفيه خطر على الأخلاق فهي ألزم عليها عرضها وعفتها وكرامتها وحجابها إذا تيسر أن تتعلم الطب وهي ملتزمة بحجابها.
And it also endangers her character and manner. And it is more binding, or alzam, it is more binding upon her that she stays away from this type of intermingling. And if it is possible that she can keep her hijab and stay firm upon her religion and find somewhere to learn where there is no mingling with the men or free mixing between them, then alhamdulillah, there is no problem in this.
أما أن تترك الحجاب وتترك وتختلط بالرجال لأجل أن تتعلم الطب فهذا أمر لا يجوز لأنها ترتكب محرمات من أجل أن تتعلم شيئا مباحا.
As for her leaving her hijab, her veil, and mixing with the men, this is something that's not permissible, it's prohibited, it's haram. For her to do this, to learn something that is mubah, that is acceptable, then this is not permissible for her to do.
وفي هذه الحالة هو غير مباح يعني ترتب عليه هذه المحابس فهذا غير مباح.
In fact, in this situation, it is not even mubah. It is not even just permissible for her because she has to do this. She has to do things that are not permissible in the first place, that are haram.
أحسن الله إليكم وبارك الله فيكم.
The next question is, and inshallah, with this we will end. This is going to be the last question for today's lecture. The question says, I see in the markets new moistened wipes to be used after one relieves himself. These wipes sometimes come into travel-sized pouches which can be convenient for traveling, etc. Does the use of these wipes count as istinja?
السائلة تقول رأيت في الأسواق مناديل مبللة مستعملة في يستعمل في الخلاء. أحيانا توجد هذه المناديل في حجم متناسب مناسب للسفر. فهل استعمال هذه المناديل تعتبر استنجاء؟
المقصود أن الإنسان إذا فرغ من قضاء حاجته ينشف المخرج إما بمناديل وإما بحجارة وإما بطين قوي أو ينشف المخرج حتى لا يبقى رطوبة.
What is meant by الاستنجاء is that the person, or what is meant by when cleaning yourself is that the person, he dries the area that the area that he dries it, whether it be with paper or rock or hard mud or anything of this sort. What is meant is that he cleans this area and dries it. And it is not necessary that it is dry, that it is wet. In fact, maybe that the dry may be better.
جزاكم الله خيرا وكثر الله أمثالكم ولعلنا نكتفي بهذا القدر وفي نهاية هذا اللقاء الطيب المتميز المبارك لا يسعنا إلا أن نشكر الوالد معالي الشيخ صالح الفوزان على هذه المحاضرة القيمة وإلقاء الضوء على شيء من سيرة وجهود هذا الإمام المبارك المجدد شيخ الإسلام محمد ابن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى رحمة واسعة. فنشكر معالي الشيخ سائلين الله أن يجعل هذا في موازين حسناته وأن ينفعنا بما سمعنا إنه سميع مجيب. وأنتم أيها الإخوة المستمعون والمستمعات لكم الشكر كذلك على حضوركم وحسن متابعكم. نسأل الله أن يجعلنا ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, with this we conclude our today's session and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward our Shaykh the best reward for shedding some light on some efforts of this great Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah. After thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us the tawfiq to organize intensive courses, we also thank our Shaykh for making himself available regardless of his extremely busy schedule. And we also thank you all as well for your presence. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who act on what they listen. We also like to inform you that since today's lecture was about the author of books which we will be going through for our intensive courses, and because we didn't start the books yet, we have extended the deadline for another month. So those of you who have not registered yet, you still have a chance to register for our intensive courses in Islamic sciences. Please visit www.albasira.org. albasera.org, or you may email. Our email for this intensive courses is course@albasira.org. وإلى لقاء آخر نستودعكم الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
بارك الله فيكم شيخنا حفظكم الله.
في أمان الله.
في أمان الله شيخ. جزاكم الله خيرا.